For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joel Gill here at Farm Fest as we enter the Minnesota Pork Tent, talk to Dave Preissler, CEO, today and discussing a lot of issues going on in agriculture in general and affecting the pork industry. And first of all, here at Farm Fest, we've had our flow of political leaders make their way on through for 3 days, but it's very important to be well aware of who they are and what they stand for, Dave.
It sure is. So we've had, I think, somewhere around 25, you know, either sitting policymakers, presently in their positions, and or candidates that are out there that have stopped by. We've had some really good conversations, especially as we look at the federal level, you know, the whole issues around tariffs and farm bill and that sort of thing, trade in general, have probably been the top issues. You know, and then on as a state side, with folks that are either looking to run for election or re-election, a lot of it, you know, really concentrating on the things that got vetoed this past year. And so what we really told them, you know, there's a lot of those things that got vetoed that we're going to come back and will be our number one priorities as we look at the 19 session. And just talking through those things. I think for a lot of folks, they're really amazed at the economic benefit that pork production has to Minnesota. And so we had a lot of those discussions and what it means for jobs and rural communities.
You look at the federal side of things, you mentioned trade too, and you look at some of the hog futures, and sometimes you see a lot of red in those numbers. Are we absorbing that, or have we reached maybe a bottom in that, or can we safely say that right now?
That is a really good question. You know, I think at this point we've got a couple of challenges. You know, obviously the whole trade piece is really hung a cloud over the market. But oftentimes, too, when you get those clouds that hang over, you get such negative market psychology that really adds to the negative side when maybe it really shouldn't be that bad. But without a doubt, without having that knowledge of what's going to happen and some certainty on the trade side, makes it easy to have that negative look to it. But as we look at the next 12 months, we look at what the futures market offers on the revenue side. We're selling that pig, and we look at futures to lock in feed costs, for example. We would lose an average of just shy of $30 a pig, and that's a lot of money. And hopefully things can change quickly. Otherwise, folks are going to use up an awful lot of equity just trying to get out the other end of this.
Where are we seeing exports stand right now for the pork industry?
You know, we have some bright spots. Bright spots would be South Korea, many of the Central American countries, Colombia and South America. Japan has hung in there okay. Actually, Mexico has hung in there okay. But Mexico was on such a growth plane, and now with the tariffs that have come into place from Mexico, that growth has quit. And then China has basically dropped off to nothing. And with a 62% tariff put on product, you're just not going to be competitive. And so that's really weighing on the marketplace itself. And the other thing we need to do is look at other countries, and look for, other possibilities out there. And most certainly we're actively engaged in doing that.
It's so hard because we're forced to sit on our hands, and it's more like a wait and see type thing instead of trying to move it along. There's others kind of standing in the way.
You know, there is. And, one of the things that was just plain really disappointing coming out of the last presidential election is we had both political candidates opposed to TPP, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So the U.S. pulled out after the election. But I think the thing that people don't realize is that the rest of the world keeps moving. Just because we pull out doesn't mean that agreement stopped, and it didn't. So it's now almost fully ratified by all the other participants. And so the world moves on, and other countries find other suppliers. And that's why it's important that we not withdraw from all of these discussions and just try and go alone. 95% plus of the world's population does not live in the U.S., and many of those countries don't produce enough food to feed their own people. We think we should certainly be in that mix of being able to do that, because we can do it and put money back into rural communities here in the upper Midwest, and satisfy the needs nutritionally for people in different parts of the world.
Dave, finally, when it comes to the Farm Bill, too, we're now at the time of conference here. We got our conference committee put together. Is there some, hope that we're going to see something here by September?
Everything I've heard is that the odds actually favor that. I had a conversation with Representative Colin Peterson here at Farm Fest, and he was very hopeful that things could certainly happen. Same thing as we talked with some of our senators here, our two senators. So I think it's certainly possible. You know, if we look back, you know, a month or two, we didn't know if that could work. But, you know, obviously the conferees have been appointed. We do have Walls and Peterson on the House side that will be on the conference committee. We're really hopeful that something can actually be accomplished before the end of September when our existing farm bill actually expires.
Where does the vaccine bank proposal stand in each version?
So a little bit different in each version. So in the House, it's actually authorized to get going, and there's some money to get it started. In the Senate version, it's just the language to get it started, okay? So not money appropriated to do so. And so we've talked with, you know, our folks here and that represent us out in D.C. We're very appreciative. I know that Senator Klobuchar has really been a leader in making this thing happen and at least have that language in the Senate version. Representative Peterson, I'll give him certainly credit too. He actually worked on getting a letter out of the House of Representatives supporting full funding for it. And so we're, quite honestly, we're, you know, you're always cautious. You never know what's going to happen. But we're pretty hopeful on it and appreciate the support of our whole delegation here from Minnesota.
Lastly, congratulations on the new pork ambassadors. Boy, you got three outstanding individuals and among a nice class this year that were up for those three spots.
You know, it is, it's one of those things as we look at our pork ambassador competition every year, is that just to watch the quality of young people that we have. You know, and even though we can only select three, you know, this is just a really deep group. They were all just really good, and we're certainly going to involve the whole group as we go through the year. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm worried about who will come back into agriculture. And, you know, I really don't necessarily have that worry. We've got some really good young people that, you know, they're motivated, they're smart, and really are committed to agriculture. And we have such great examples of literally hundreds of young people that have come back to pork production in Minnesota. It's a real younger farmers game. And in this class that we've got, you know, of pork ambassadors is really no exception from a standpoint of just really good young people, you know, and they're gonna serve not only the pork industry well and representing it, but all of agriculture.
Dave Preisler with Minnesota Pork joining us here at Farm Fest. Farm Fest winding down today. We'll have additional coverage today and also the rest of this weekend. Well, it's going to go into next week as well. For Chasm Radio here at Farm Fest, I'm Joe Gill.